Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week, I'll be interviewing one of the park rangers for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project at Okeechobee in Florida about volunteer opportunities in the Sunshine State. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, plus all about work camping and how to find the right jobs for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started. So for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Rob Hill has been involved with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for almost 6 years. He works for a water resources development project that stretches the entire Florida Peninsula from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean. The waterway allows recreational boaters to save a lot of time by cutting through the state rather than traveling all the way around the peninsula. Rob is specifically responsible for the W.P. Franklin Lock and Recreation Area. According to its website, the campground, which is located about 10 miles east of Fort Myers, provides visitors with a taste of tranquil, tropical country life. Nearby Telegraph Creek offers exciting opportunities to canoe Florida's backcountry swamps and to view wildlife. On the south side of the property, there's a visitor center and day use area with a boat ramp, picnic area, and large group pavilions available for rent. He needs several volunteers to help create and deliver water safety presentations to area schools. For that reason, any work campers with experience in teaching would likely love this opportunity. Rob is also looking for volunteers to help with maintenance of the property, to serve as gatehouse attendants, and simply interact with guests while overseeing the project. Rob is developing a work camper program at the project because volunteers have proven to be indispensable resources for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Each volunteer donates about 24 hours of service per week in exchange for a full hookup RV site. There are 16 to 20 work campers staying at the volunteer village at the property, but another 20 volunteers will be scattered across the Lake Okeechobee waterway. These jobs are available year-round. The project's peak season would be from Thanksgiving to Easter, but the waterway is utilized by boaters and campers throughout the year. To learn more about the volunteer opportunities at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project in Fort Myers, please welcome Park Ranger Rob Hill and work campers Mike and Sue Ward to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Rob. I really appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about the project that you work for.
Yes, my pleasure. Well, down here in South Florida, I work along the Okeechobee Waterway. And just so folks out there are familiar, when we refer to a project, it's actually short for a water resources development project. In this case, there's several lock and dams along the Okeechobee Waterway, which goes across the entire state of Florida from the Gulf of Mexico through Lake Okeechobee and then all the way to the Atlantic Ocean near Stuart, Florida, if people are familiar with that. But where I am, I'm on the west coast of Florida, very close to Fort Myers, and I work at the W.P. Franklin Lock and Recreation Area. And we have a campground on the north side of the river, and on the south side, we actually have a pretty neat visitor center and day use area that offers a boat ramp and all sorts of picnicking and large group pavilions that folks can rent.
How long have you been with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers?
I've been with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers almost 6 years now.
Okay, that's good. And then you said that this is a sounds like a really big project if I know where that lake is compared to where Fort Myers is. So will the volunteers be working anywhere along that project, or will they be centrally working in Fort Myers area?
Yes, that's a good question. It's definitely an expansive project. Like I said, technically it goes across the entire state of Florida. So it saves a tremendous amount of time for boats that want to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. Instead of going around the southern tip and the Keys, it can just bisect the state. But as far as volunteers go, they're based, we have a large volunteer village here in Fort Myers where we have 9 sites within the village and an additional 2 sites at the campground on the north side. But there's also 2 additional campgrounds where volunteers can live and volunteer along the state.
Okay. Very good. So what kind of jobs do the work campers typically perform for you?
Quite a wide variety. This year's been a little bit different. We've had to get kind of creative with just everything going on across the nation now with COVID-19. But when we're fully operational and everything is business as usual, we have a really good water safety outreach program where volunteers will actually create these 45-minute long programs and deliver that program to elementary schools that are near the project or might recreate in the project. And that's a really fun time for a lot of these volunteers, especially I try to find some of the ones that's had teaching backgrounds or just enjoy getting out there and doing some public speaking and bringing such an important thing like water safety. And one of our missions at the Army Corps of Engineers is promoting water safety. That's probably the biggest one that I'm most passionate about. But of course, we have maintenance volunteers, the traditional gatehouse volunteers, and day use hosts that kind of look over recreation areas and are our eyes in the field.
Are the volunteers working in the schools, or are the schools coming out to the project?
I would love if the schools could come out here, but for some reason, I'm not sure what it is, but schools just don't do field trips as much anymore. It's really difficult to do. So they actually go to the schools and can get reimbursed for their fuel if they would like to use their personal vehicle.
Okay. And how long have you been using work campers?
Work campers? Well, for me down here, it's been largely underutilized. I've actually just kind of been going through word of mouth through other volunteers and trying to spread the word that way. And recently I've gotten more involved with volunteer.gov, but I saw this work camping opportunity, and I think I'm missing a lot of good candidates out there that do work through work campers.
Okay. So you've been working with the volunteers for a couple of years at least, right? Personally?
Oh yes. Personally, we do get quite a few like to come back each year. I do enjoy when people come back because we can a lot of times build upon projects that we've done in years prior. But we also get a good amount of turnover and fresh volunteers to get some experience down here in South Florida, working here along the Caloosahatchee River.
Very good. What kind of benefits do the work campers bring to your organization compared to hiring people locally? So what kind of benefits do the work campers provide to your operation versus hiring people locally?
Well, the work campers, they really come from all over the country, and each one has had such a vast life experience that they bring here to one location. And the park rangers actually learn a lot from these work camping folks, whether they are skilled tradesmen and women. We have some tremendous woodworking work camping folks. We have people that used to be teachers and principals in their previous careers. So really, they just bring so much experience that I don't think we could find any way else.
I know it's got to save you some money, I would imagine.
Oh, of course. And I guess that's kind of one of the main benefits that oftentimes I'll overlook until in the end of the year we do our reports, and they do save a tremendous amount. I think the current dollar amount for volunteers down here is almost $28 an hour. And as I think we touched on, or you probably touched on in some of your interviews, generally speaking, each volunteer has to get at least 24 hours to, I guess you would say, earn their keep.
Earn their keep. That's very good. How many volunteers do you typically hire a year?
Each year, if we were fully volunteered throughout the whole waterway, it would be around 40 volunteers, believe it or not.
Wow. That's so you need almost a campground to accommodate them.
You just about would. As we talked on earlier, it's pretty spread across the Okeechobee Waterway. So the volunteer village houses the largest amount of volunteers in one spot. And generally we have between 16 and 20 folks here at the W.P. Franklin Lock and Recreation Area.
And are these seasonal opportunities or year-round? I would think in Florida it'd be year-round.
You know, Florida, there are opportunities year-round. We do have a primary season, which is kind of unique down here. As you can imagine, it's opposite as most of the rest of the country, where people in the more northern latitudes or northern states, their peak season, you know, usually starts sometime mid-May and will go all the way through September. Ours is more towards Thanksgiving to Easter is when we like to get the largest number of volunteers here. And it just so happens that that's when people want to be in South Florida. So it works out pretty good for us.
Are you recruiting volunteers for this upcoming season?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because your season, like you said, is almost over. So you're looking for people to come in the fall of 2021.
That's correct. It's kind of a neat situation to be in because while work campers or volunteers or even contracted folks like gate attendants, they could be mid-contract or mid-volunteer service agreement up north sometime. And they're going to be looking for places to go in the wintertime. So I like to try to get those volunteer job announcements and opportunities out there in sometimes July or August.
How many volunteers typically return year after year?
It can vary from season to season, but I would say a nice healthy turnover would be roughly half of the volunteer staff. That way it's kind of the best of both worlds, and you got some fresh blood and new perspectives coming in to kind of, just give a new perspective and bring some fresh energy in. But you also got those returning volunteers that are excited to come back and just continue some of the good projects that they either started or,
sure.
They started the year prior.
And how do you typically acquire the volunteers?
How do we typically acquire them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, typically, I've been pretty lucky. As I said earlier, we have quite a few volunteers who have a pretty big network of friends out there that are full-time RVers. So a lot of times I'm able to kind of gauge what they're like just through the work ethic of the volunteer that's here and a phone call to maybe a friend or a past coworker that they volunteered with. And besides that, we have also used volunteer.gov to put out job announcements.
Okay. And that brings in a lot of people who would like to apply. And then what happens once they submit an application?
Once they submit an application, I believe, you know, the interworkings of it, it goes into Tennessee, Millington, and then they will kind of disseminate those applications out to each field site that puts in those, announcements on that volunteer.gov portal. And so I'll get a string of emails or clusters of emails throughout the season with people that are interested in coming down here. And I'll I'll kind of read over the resumes and see if they would be a nice fit within our team here, and then start with the phone calls.
Okay, so everything's done over the phone or by Zoom? You don't do Zoom interviews, right? It's all phone?
You know, mostly phone. Well, all phone for now, but we're trying to get more into the Zoom interviews because we feel that virtual, either virtual learning or that distance learning and all those different types of kind of social media outreach where you can get a little bit of a face-to-face from a distance, that's going to become more popular. So not so much yet, but looking forward to exploring that.
Are there any specific traits or qualifications you're looking for in volunteers?
Down here, we're looking for, certainly it goes a long way. It sounds cliche, but you have to have just a positive attitude each day going into your work because it just makes everything more enjoyable and more fun, both for the volunteer experience and for the park rangers that are working there. And from my experience, everything just goes better and the productivity is boosted. And in the end, I mean, the volunteer wants to have a fulfilling and fun time because they're retired and trying to find a fantastic way to pass their time. So definitely a positive attitude and willingness to be part of a team, know when it's important to, I guess you could say, step up and when to step back and kind of go with the flow. But as far as a particular skill set, I really enjoy getting a varied skill set here where people can come in and they're open to doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And one day maybe they could be filling in a gatehouse as a park attendant. And the next week they could be doing a little bit of painting or helping out a ranger with some sort of a maintenance or landscaping task.
So it sounds like flexibility is a really good trait to have.
Yes, that would have been a better word for me to lead with. Flexibility okay. Would be perfect.
Super. So it looks like maintenance is involved. So that would mean, you know, maybe some carpentry skills, but you'll also go from there into working at a gatehouse or
yes,
doing
sir.
A day use hosting kind of thing.
Yes, sir. Generally, if you're a gatehouse or a day use volunteer, that'll be your primary means of making your hours. It's a lot of those other volunteers that do, you know, a little bit of maintenance, maybe some outreach, some roving around the campgrounds and day use areas, just teaching visitors about the parks. Those are the positions where flexibility really would benefit the volunteer a lot and obviously benefit the Army Corps of Engineers.
Is there a minimum number of hours they need to put in?
Per week, all we require is a minimum of 24 hours. Oftentimes, volunteers, they'll either get so into a project or not realize it, and they'll go quite a bit over. And, you know, that's fine with me as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. That would be good. So is that 24 Absolutely. Hours? Is that like 8-hour shifts, 6-hour shifts? Is it a couple of hours every day, or is it just 3 days on and 3 days off?
And that's another one. That's another thing that we're very flexible with, and we kind of work with each individual volunteer. But we try to give them a set schedule. Most of them have maybe five hours a day. So it ends up being, you know, they get 3, sometimes 4 days off each week, depending on how long of a day they pull. It's a little bit different in the gatehouses. In the gatehouses, it's generally 4 days on and 4 days off, whereas the other ones have a lot more flexibility with their schedule as long as they get that 24 hours a week in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of time off then to explore the local area. What kinds of things can people do?
Oh, absolutely. As we were saying, if you're able to get your hours in during the week, especially the maintenance folks, not so much the ones that do outreach or campgrounds. A lot of times we'll need them there on the busy weekends, but there's in South Florida, it's, you know, where people want to be, especially in wintertime, because there's some tremendous birding and different wildlife viewing down here. Within a maybe within an hour and a half of the park, there's three or four national parks and national wildlife refuges where volunteers can explore, whether it be heading out towards the beach to check out Ding Darling National Wildlife Refuge and some of the very unique and special environments out there. You could spend all day out there and have the adventure of a lifetime. And also there's awesome seafood down here, local cuisine. There's all sorts of state parks kind of in the center of Florida. It's almost like the what they would call the real Florida, or definitely a Florida forgotten, with the cattle ranches and some of the oak hammocks and cypress swamps. So if you love nature and even some of the more developed things like beautiful beachside restaurants, there's plenty that you can do to keep busy down here on your time off.
I know you're also very close to other big attractions down there, right? Like Disney World's only about 3 hours away.
That's true, yes. I was born and raised in Florida, so sometimes I take for granted some of those huge attractions. But yeah, you can shoot up north to Kissimmee in Orlando and explore Disney World. It's, like you said, it's only about 3 hours north of us here. And you have some large cities that are really amazing places to explore too. Miami to our southeast. I mean, you got the Florida Keys due south of us, and Tampa a little bit northwest. So yeah, there's definitely no shortage of attractions and things to do to keep you busy during your time off.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the name of the river that is in your backyard?
The backyard river here is one of the perks. It's the Caloosahatchee.
Now, do volunteers have to learn how long does it take them, I guess, to learn how to pronounce all of these place names in Florida, let alone spell them?
Yeah, that's a good point. The volunteers that come here, in the visitor center, there's a lot of educational material and exhibits that are very interactive. And usually we just start there and it gives them a nice history of the park, a history of the waterway, and basically a mission of, or an idea of what the mission of the Army Corps of Engineers is here, especially in South Florida, because it's a pretty unique mission with multiple prongs that they do, and they have to manage for the natural environments, of course, flood control, navigation of the waterway, and of course where we come in is more recreation and giving the public an opportunity to see these civil work projects. Mm-hmm. But as far as the words and some of those Caloosahatchee and
yes,
it could take a little while. Yeah, we struggle through it, but we get there though.
Get there, very good. If a volunteer had a boat, would there be a place for him or her to park the boat?
That's a good question. Yes, in the volunteer village, and I guess in every pad really. There's of course the place for the RV and a primary parking spot and a second parking spot as well. And they could definitely detach a small fishing boat or bass boat and keep it safe there right next to their RV. And we have a boat ramp, which would pretty much I think at every volunteer RV pad or volunteer village across the waterway, there's probably a boat ramp within 200 or 300 yards. So it'd be, you know, your own private little boat ramp and access to the Caloosahatchee River.
Very good. Now, is this a position that would be good for singles, or are you looking only for couples?
This is a position that is, you know, it's good for singles or couples. We try to find couples, especially for the more time-demanding the longer shift volunteer positions like those gatehouses, because really you're on call 24/7 during that four-day shift, although you're only really in the gatehouse from 9 to 5. But you can imagine how it would help to have a partner in crime there to take turns in the gatehouse and get out and stretch your legs and interact with the campers. Whereas a maintenance man or woman, for sure, they could be single and quite a bit more flexible and mobile on their own. So it just depends on which position.
Sure. I understand you have a couple of volunteers with you right now who might be able to talk about their experience with the project.
Absolutely, yes. If you could just give me one moment, I'll go up to the front desk and get Mike and Sue and see if they're able to say a couple words to their experience here.
I'm Mike and Sue, Greg Gerber with WorkCamper News, and I'm doing a podcast or an interview with Rob, and it will eventually be turned into a podcast episode talking about the project and how it's using work campers, the things they do and kinds of things they can do when they're not working. And so he thought it'd be a good idea to bring you on and have you explain some of the things that you're doing.
Well, we are working in the office answering the calls, and because of COVID we can't have any visitors for the visitor center, but then we also do maintenance work around the park and different things that may arise that they need help with.
Okay. How long have you been there?
Well, this is our first year at W.P. Franklin, but we have been at Clewiston at the operations office for 5 years.
Okay, so you're sold on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers lifestyle kind of for work campers.
Yes, it's very great. It's there's no pressure on you, and you work with a lot of nice people. Everybody for the Corps is very nice, helpful, and it's a good atmosphere for retired people to work.
And how many hours a week do you put in?
Well, we try to get in 25 hours a week.
Okay, very good. And Sue, what do you do in your jobs?
I answer phones, whatever else they want us to do. We can. When we were in Clewiston, we did filing. And when they'd have the Sugar Fest, we'd help out at the Sugar Fest. We're just whatever they needed us to do, we learned how to do it. It was very nice.
Very good. I understand there are a bunch of work campers over there. Do you have a little community that you guys have formed with each other?
Yes, we have. Yes.
Okay. Do you do anything together?
Yes, we had shrimp.
A shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a chili cook-off in a few weeks here.
Okay, very good. And when you're not working, what kinds of things do you like to do in that area?
Well, because of COVID, we are staying away from everybody. So, but when we were in Clewiston, before the COVID, we went to the Keys and we came over here to Fort Myers, went to Sanibel Island, just did a lot of sightseeing that you do.
People might wonder, have you seen a lot of alligators?
Whenever there's water, there's always a chance of an alligator.
Okay.
That's what you
do. Do you have any in the campground?
No, we haven't seen any here, but we're away from the water, so we don't, unless we're walking down by the water, then you may see one. But
okay. I've heard that you have to be a little bit more careful with pets, let's just say that, when you're out walking in some areas of the water areas in Florida. Is that true?
That's true.
Yes,
you always want to have your pet on a leash when you're near water.
Or your child, apparently.
Yeah. Yes.
Very
that
good.
Is
yeah. Super. You have any other advice for people who may want to come and work for that particular project?
Well, it's a great opportunity if they have it to see what's going on in the area that you're working. And it's a great opportunity to see how the Corps works.
Super. And where are you going after this one ends?
Well, when we get through here in May, we go back to Wisconsin and visit our friends and relatives and have our doctor's appointments and dental appointments.
Very good. I'm from Wisconsin, a native of Madison, so it's always nice to
really well. Yes. We stay at Stoughton, Wisconsin, which is only 15 miles away from Madison.
Well, that's where we raised our three daughters, isn't Stoughton, Wisconsin. And I moved over there in 2009, yes.
We stay at Viking Village out on County Ann.
And when I had an RV, I spent two summers there. So this is ironic.
It's a small world.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'll be the first to wish you a happy Setnamai.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we usually get back just about the weekend they have Setnamai.
Very good. So, well, thank you guys for taking time to come in and share your experiences and your advice with people. I appreciate it. I do have a couple more questions for Rob, though.
Okay, we'll put Rob back on.
Hey, Greg.
So what can a work camper do to stand out among other applicants when they're applying for this kind of job?
Well, I guess similar to resumes that I put out for USA Jobs to be a park ranger, it helps to be detailed and specific with, I guess, either accomplishments or certain things you've done in your career that would really stand out here or really prove to be beneficial to the Corps. For example, sometimes in the last couple years, we've really been trying to get a lot more native landscaping in around the visitor centers and throughout the campground, and just create a more pollinator-friendly landscape here. So one thing that stood out to me recently was a green thumb or somebody who has experience in either agriculture or even xeriscaping or native plants. Other times, you know, if you're proud of a certain maintenance project or have certifications in woodworking, things of that nature, certainly include those and don't take anything for granted when you make your resume, because the park ranger or the person reading, they don't know you at all. So it's nice to paint that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As many descriptions of things you've done would go a long way to helping people understand or employers understand what it is that you can offer.
Absolutely. It really does.
I don't think we ever talked about compensation. How are volunteers compensated, or what kind of perks do they get for volunteering their time?
At this location, the main compensation is certainly the RV site with its full hookups, both the 30 and the 50 amp, water and sewer. I haven't done the market research in a while, but I know it's not cheap to find a setup like that in South Florida, especially between, during peak season.
Anywhere near Fort Myers is going to be really expensive.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, that's certainly the biggest benefit, but things on the fringe or things that aren't quite as tangible are a lot of these folks that you'll meet here. I mean, they've been coming here for 3, 4, 5 seasons. So the work campers and volunteers, they make some lifelong friends and network with one another and set up plans for the future to travel across America and hopefully come back this way, once they're able to.
Being relatively close to Fort Myers, is it safe to assume that they get relatively good cell connections and internet service in that area?
Yes, in this area here, that's correct. We get good cell service through all the carriers. Some of the more rural campgrounds like Ortona Campground, it can be a little bit spotty, but for those same reasons, that's why some volunteers really love it out there too, because you get a taste of the old Florida with the orange groves and the large expanses of cattle ranches. It's a really neat feeling out there in Ortona, but sometimes you might not be able to make the phone call out.
If people wanted more information about this opportunity or to apply, where could they do that?
Well, whenever we do have volunteer opportunities open and available, they go through volunteer.gov. And in that portal, they can just type in the word Okeechobee. And they might have to Google how to spell it, but if they just type in Okeechobee, it'll pop up everything along the whole waterway here that we have available.
Okay, very good. And then they can pick which projects they want to work with and just go from there.
Exactly. Yeah, it can be it's broken down by site and then your job duties, whether it be WP Franklin North for Walter P. Franklin North Campground. You could be a gate attendant or Tona South Campground gate attendant, WP Franklin South maintenance or interpretive volunteer. So it breaks it down on what you can expect. And then also, of course, where you'll be parking your RV.
Very good. And that address again is?
That web address is www.volunteer.gov, short for government.
Yep. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it. You provided a lot of information, and it was nice to have Mike and Sue pop in and talk about their experience, too. So I wish you the best of luck for 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
I really appreciate Park Ranger Rob Hill for taking time to talk to us about volunteer work camping opportunities at his U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project along the Okeechobee Waterway near Fort Myers, Florida. Rob is looking for people with positive attitudes who have the ability and flexibility to be speaking to groups one day, painting walls or doing landscaping another day, or serving as a gatehouse attendant the next week. Generally, he prefers working with couples to help share the workload, but there are some jobs available for singles too. Volunteers can be scheduled to work a few hours each day, or to serve 4 days on, 4 days off, as long as they're willing to donate at least 24 hours of time each week. Work campers who like boating, canoeing, or kayaking will love this opportunity. There is water everywhere in Florida with lots of lakes, rivers, and swamps to explore. The worksite is centrally located to a lot of major attractions in the state, from the theme parks in Orlando to the historic Florida Keys. I'm glad that the work campers Mike and Sue Ward took time to come on the show to describe their experiences as well. It was a complete surprise to me to learn that they typically spend their summers near my hometown of Madison, Wisconsin. Mike and Sue talked about the community of work campers that developed to create friendships at the project, as well as some of the jobs they do when working and some of the activities they get to enjoy during their time off. COVID changed a lot of things for guests, volunteers, and the staff, but Mike and Sue made the best of the experience to make some fun memories of their time in Florida. There are a number of volunteer opportunities along the Okeechobee Waterway, so for more information about jobs and how to apply, visit www.volunteer.gov. Simply search for Okeechobee and all the open positions will pop up. Volunteer opportunities are just one type of job you'll find with WorkCamper News. There are lots of paid positions too, in every state from Florida to Alaska and from California to Maine. With its Diamond and Platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings and be able to connect with a community of work campers and pursue resources compiled by experts who have been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of WorkCamper News behind you. That's all we have for this week's show. Next week, I'll be talking with a representative from Cherry Republic about some interesting work camping opportunities available in the great state of Michigan. I'll have more details on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.